Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
This is A Deeper Listen from KEXP, the show where we talk with musicians about the ideas and experiences that shape their music. I'm Emily Fox. The Los Angeles-based garage rock band Meat Bodies have released their fourth record. It's called Flora Ocean Tiger Bloom. The album has been mostly finished for years, but due to the pandemic and a health emergency, it's just now seeing the light of day. Chad Yubovich fronts Meat Bodies. He grew up in the L.A. garage and surf rock scenes and also plays in the band Fuzz with the prolific modern guitar hero Ty Segall, someone he's known since high school.
I met Ty Segall and Charles. They had a high school band and they were playing surf kind of stuff. And he's screaming in the mic with this distorted mic, and it's like, you know, it's kind of that Spider-Man meme where we're like pointing at each other like, hey, you make that too?
This latest album from Meat Bodies takes a lot of influence from psychedelic rock, especially in songs like Move. And Psychic Garden. Yubovich wouldn't describe his album as psych rock. Here's how he described the record.
It's my one man from Pasadena's attempt to make a a baggy Manchester record and fails because he's too much of a Black Sabbath fan. And there's one song that sounds like Smashing Pumpkins, but it's great.
Around the time Yubovich was ready to put the album into the world, the pandemic happened, followed by a health emergency that put Yubovich in the hospital for more than a month and required him to learn how to walk and play music again. Yubovich and I recently sat down after his live performance at KEXP, and he talked about how that health emergency is what allowed him to fully complete the album.
I got really sick out of nowhere, and it wasn't COVID, it wasn't anything. Ultimately, what ended up happening was there was mold in my house, and I'd been living there for 8 years, and it just got me. And so I was puking up blood.
No.
And I thought I had pneumonia. No, I thought I had tuberculosis. I thought I had all this stuff, but I got really sick, and I had pneumonia for like 2 months straight, and I was bedridden, and it was like
in your house, I'm assuming,
in my house, and it was like getting worse and worse. There was a period where I started getting a little bit better. I tried going on tour with my other band, Fuzz,
with Ty Segall,
yeah. And then right when we got on the road for that tour, I just got worse again.
And, how so? Like, what was happening to you at that time?
I was underweight. I was pale. Mm. I was losing blood, essentially. I was low in blood. And it was just coming out of me. And it was because I had these holes in my lungs were forming. And they were like exposing arteries. And so that's exactly what was happening. And it was because of the mold. But we couldn't find that out till later.
So how long were you sick for?
In total, maybe like 4 months.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a total, but like maybe like 3 months recovery after. What ended up happening was we had to cancel the Fuzz tour. Charles from Fuzz was like, you got to go home.
You're ruining the vibe, yeah. Man.
We got on the road. He was like, you got to go home. Yeah. We're not doing this tour. Yeah. And I was like, no, I can do it, please. I could have done it. So I went and I saw a doctor. I saw an ENT because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's something with that. And he was like, you got to go to the hospital. You're like, you're not doing good. So I went to the hospital and they basically kept me. Like they kept me there for like a month. And 2 weeks of those months, I was in like a chemical coma.
Whoa.
They had to like keep me out so I could heal. And yeah, it was really intense. I was on life support and all this stuff. And then when I woke up, I was like, what happened? You know, like, what's going on? And they slowly deduced, like, okay, like I had a mold test from my house and they found the exact same mold in my lung. And then they patched me up and I had a heel in there. And, you know, when you wake up after 2 weeks of life support, you can't walk. So
yeah, what does that feel like when you finally get out, when you like wake up again?
Oh, it's trippy.
Yeah, tell me. I want to know more.
Well, it's funny. I recently read the Ozzy Osbourne book and he had the exact same thing that happened to him. I have this not
with mold,
not with mold, but with his lungs.
Wow.
I've always had this weird connection with Ozzy. My whole life, everyone's been like, you look like young Ozzy and all this stuff. I even have his initials tattooed on my chest. And yeah, so my friend Kaya, she was like, oh, you should read the Ozzy book. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll read it. It's really, really good. And I guess in his 50s, he got an ATV accident. He punctured his lung. So he had holes in his lung. And they had the same thing. They had to keep him in a chemical coma for 2 weeks. And in the book, he's like, yeah, when I woke up, like the craziest thing I had to get over was the things I saw when I was out. He's like, I've done so many drugs, but I've never seen the things that I saw. And I have to agree. Like the things.
What did you see?
Oh my gosh.
Is it just like a trip the whole time?
Oh yeah. You're living a different life. You're like completely living a different life. It's, they had me on like ketamine. Like they put you on like ketamine for like that duration of time. And so, yeah, like you see a lot of stuff and some of the stuff I like forgot about. And then when I was like out of the hospital, maybe like a month later, all of a sudden it came rushing back and I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, that's the closest I can describe it is I saw a TikTok about near-death experiences. Mm. And some people's near-deaths are kind of similar to what I saw.
And so what did you see?
Well, there was, okay, one of the things that I saw for a long time was like, I was in this gurney, in this room of gurneys for like a long time. This is, now I just sound fanciful and la-di-da-di, I saw this stuff. No. Okay, so I saw this, I was in a gurney and you're like in a cocoon and you're like wrapped up and it's like a room, long hallway of gurneys and you can't do anything. You're just in there. It's like orange and you can't say anything. You can't move. And sometimes people come around these like, sounds hilarious.
Is this what you're seeing while you're in a coma or this is real life?
Oh, this is what you just, no, I don't know. This is just what I saw
when
I was out. Yeah. But there's these people, they're like, you can't really make out their face. They look purple. There's like these purple beings and they come around to these gurneys, these people in cocoons, and they're digging around and they're judging whether they're ready or not. Yeah, this sounds crazy. I know.
Because it also relates to like kind of like a hospital environment. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, maybe
space.
I was kind of like, like waking up a little bit or something. I don't know. But yeah, I was like, they were looking at me and they're like, yeah, he's not ready. And I'm like in my head, like, no, I'm ready. You know, and you can't, it's just so weird. And then there was this other thing where I was like living through, I was drifting through these slides of fire, like a hole of fire forever. And I was this boy, I was a boy, but I was a dragon and I was wearing khaki pants. And I had, that was it. I was a dragon with khaki pants, and I was floating down the slide of fire, and I'd get to the end, and there'd be a woman, and she'd be like, right this way, here, you got to go this other way. And I go down this other slide, and yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of that kind of stuff. You're just living a different life, and you have no idea the concept of who I was or anything. So waking up, it's like, that wasn't real, you know? It's like, it's really weird. I don't know. It sounds hilarious, but that's what I saw.
But I also, you mean, you probably also had no conception of time. You had no idea you were out for 2 weeks.
Oh, I didn't know I was me.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't have any memories of me, Chad, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm a dragon boy with khaki pants.
But I mean, was it, like, did it feel different than just being in a dream state?
Oh, yeah. It's a completely lucid life. Like, you're completely, like, just in another life form body.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what did that feel like when you finally came out of it?
Well, it's weird because you come out and you're like, wait, so none of that was real? I'm like, no, what are you talking about?
What was going through your head when you were starting to get sick and you had no idea what was happening? And then also when you came out of that coma and realized what actually had gone down, like, what were your thoughts?
You just don't accept it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like the big thing. It's hard to accept. I think when I woke up, people were like, are you okay? Like, you were out for this long. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, like, it's like, whatever. I don't know what you're saying. And then there's like a time finally you can start seeing, because like you can't see for a little bit, you know, like it's like just forms. Finally, like you can start making out stuff. And I looked at the calendar and I was like, oh man, because I went out pre New Year. It was like the end of December, and I went out before the first.
So in what year would this been?
2022. Okay. Well, I woke up in 22.
Yeah.
And I was like looking, and I was like, oh yeah, it's like January like 8th or something, you know, or I can't remember the day. Like, wow, okay. But like in your head, you're like, I can't think about that right now. You know, it's like you're purely focused on just like, I gotta get out of here. Gotta get out of here.
And then what happened to the house?
I moved.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like the whole thing was like right when I was leaving to the hospital, I got an eviction notice and I sent them a text, my landlords, and I was like, hey, I'm in the hospital. Like, can we wait to, can we put this eviction on hold? And it was this whole thing. We had a lawyer up. And so when I got out, I just went straight to a new house and it was like a whole new world. Like, where am I? Like, it's really trippy. I was trippy for a long time. Let me just say that. Dragon Boy, cocoons, you know, slides of fire.
I mean, I also think about this album that you put together and like,
right.
You know, very like psychedelia influence, you know, like.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, pre this happening, I was going through a weird time with the band and with where I was musically. And I wanted to make something different. And I think I really pushed it. I really pushed something to be like really different. And to be honest, I feel like I kind of lost the rock or something. I lost the like what my initial thing is, like who I am, you know. And by time all this stuff happened, the hell stuff, whatever, I got the new house. I like made a studio in the new house and set up all my gear, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna mix this thing. You know, I was back from Fuzz Tour. I'm gonna mix this thing. And I sat down, and it was like a reunion. It was like a reunion with myself or something. It was like I was back and I had the drive again. And I just immediately knew, like, because there was like all this stuff happened with when we were making Flora originally. It was like we were making it and there was band members leaving. And so in the end, a lot of it was just me in a giant studio for like weeks doing all the stuff. Okay, here's the bass part. And like, I think the record got so far away. It was like trying to be really soft. I didn't want to make like any rock music at all. And we were kind of running out of time and we were racking up the bill. And we were left with this like half-baked album. And we sent it to the label and they're like, yeah, it's not done. And I'm like, yeah, it's not done. And so there was a lot of confusion making Flora. I was like, I don't know. We sent it to different mixers, you know, tried to like save money.
And this was at what period of time then?
This is pre-pandemic.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like, we were sending it to different mixers. Hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And then we get it back. Oh, no, it's still not there. I think we got to re-record and all this stuff. And so there's a lot of confusion. So then after all this stuff happened, pandemic, my health issues, I got out of the hospital, all this stuff. I'm sitting there and I'm like listening to it with fresh ears, fresh brain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back. I didn't die. I could have died, but I didn't. And so it was like post-Dragon Boy.
The trip. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting there and I just immediately figured it out like that, you know, and I was like, oh, got it. And then it was just flying after that. I think I finished the album in like a couple weeks, just like immediately. And I just finished it. But I really don't think it would have gotten where it was without all the stuff happening. And for some reason, you know, you just have to see it through. Sometimes it takes a long time, but I'll never take that long in an album. Kid, I'm going to finish albums in like a week. Like now it's like, it's over.
I mean, I'm thinking about like in the Bandcamp description of the record, it notes that in the song Hole, that Hole is, quote, dosed with enough pop and psilocybin to appease fans of both heavy rock and quality melody, unquote. And then you also have a song called Silly Cybin.
Yes.
Silly space Cybin.
Silly Cybin drifting down a wishing well.
Which, you know, just makes me think about, like, you know, you being in this coma and, like, having all these, like, I don't know, visions or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
You know? So, like, how much of that experience of being in that coma shows up on this record?
Honestly, not that much,
okay.
to be honest, because a lot of that was written before all that.
But I feel like it's also kind of dark, too. Like, you've got, like, lyrics like, all the gray is creeping, suicide is jumping.
Nothing's waiting for me. Suicide is jumping. Psilocybin.
So, like, what's going on in this track?
Okay, well, I'm going to be blunt. This song was about bad psilocybin time.
Tell
way
me about
back
it.
In the
yeah.
day. I was playing in another band, and someone had shown up with a bag of shrooms, mm-hmm. and we were eating this pizza with shrooms all over it. We're in San Diego, and what was left over was this bag of dust. And I don't know about you, I've talked to Dylan about this, but some guys I know have had the dust before. Oh, I'm just going to finish the dust. But dust, you don't know how much the dust is. So I finished this bag of dust.
And it was too much.
And, oh yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, you know, San Diego in the nighttime. if, you know... You got gray skies on a bad shroom trip is just not the thing. It's not, you know, now I know. And it was funny, the next day I was like so dramatic and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know who I am. I need to eat fruit only. I can't eat bad. And I like try to jump into the ocean with my like pants on. Because I didn't have a bathing suit, and I got caught in a riptide.
No.
And this lifeguard had to pull me out, and he's like, "You're not from around here, aren't you?" I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm not from San Diego." I don't know. This is a long time ago. So this is like more. This song was inspired by that time, and Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's be real. Let's not talk about, I think people talk about shrooms in this like la-di-da way, but sometimes they're not.
Right.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not really a big fan of shrooms. Let me just say that. Yeah. I think they're great. You know, if you want to go to the beach, just a tiny little bit, you know, and figure some stuff out, think about your life. But no, not for tour party stuff. Let's personally,
yeah,
in my opinion.
All the world is ringing on the way to
My final question is, so KXP is all about music discovery. So my final question is asking you for a music recommendation. What do you think is a song that everyone should hear? A song that you're either loving right now or a song that has like made an impact on you as a musician?
Oh, man. Well, lately I've been listening to a lot of 90s Neil Young. And it's really inspiring because he's like 40. You know, I'm like, I'm sitting here like as a 36-year-old. Like a lot of times you, at this age, you're like, I'm over, you know, it's done. It's a young man's game. But it's like, you know, you don't really see many artists who are like making really good music at a latter age, you know, it's kind of hokey. But yeah, like I've been going through like 90s Neil when he's like 50 and it's like, this is amazing. It's like six albums in a row, you know, like, and like a live album. And so I've been listening to a lot of that. And
because I'm still I wanna see you dance again because I'm still in love with you on this hardest groove.
On the way here, we listened to like later in life James Brown, like 80s, 90s James Brown. That I really want to investigate that. That's really, really cool. Okay, on the way, this sounds stupid. This is a given. On the way here, we had to drive 2 days to get here.
From
so,
where?
From LA. Uh-huh. And so I was like driving like late nights and I'm just blasting just to like stay awake. And I was like, you know, I feel like listening to Mothership. I haven't listened to Mothership in like forever. Because it, you know, it gets, you know, everyone knows it's an amazing album. And I put it on, I was like, this is like the greatest record I think I've ever heard. Half of it is like just drums and bass, and then all the musicality is like vocals and creating. I'm gonna say the first three songs on Mothership Connection, that's my recommendation. Go listen to that. And I'm going to say the last song on McCartney 2, One of These Days. That's my recommendation.
One of these days, when my feet are on the ground, I'm going to look around and see what's right. See what's there and breathe fresh air ever after.
I've been speaking with Chad Yubovich of Meat Bodies. Meat Bodies' latest album is called Flora, Ocean, Tiger, Bloom. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
All right, we did it.
Yes, we did.
That was the show today. As the Sound and Vision podcast has transitioned to a deeper listen, I would love to hear what you think. You can send feedback to deeper@kexp.org. And it would also mean a lot if you subscribed to this podcast, rated it, and reviewed it. We still have yet to see a new review on Apple Podcasts. Doing that, rating it, reviewing it, subscribing to the podcast is basically free, crowdsourced advertising, which means a lot to KEXP. KEXP is a publicly funded radio station. People, not corporations or shareholders, allow us to do what we do. And speaking of, you can help financially support this show by becoming what we call an amplifier by donating $6 a month. You can do so at kexp.org/deeper. I'm Emily Fox, and thanks for taking a deeper listen.